Okay.
Erev Tov, good evening. We are continuing our discussion of Simen Kuf Nun Hei in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. Last year we focused on the tensile balance between Bitachon and Ishtadlus. We noted that on the one hand, there's a dilemma. How should one operate in terms of these two forces that both are essentially, in some respects, at variance with one another, but in another respect, they coalesce. And we indicated the solution does not lie in either extreme, but rather, neither should one remain totally passive or inactive. Clearly, there has to be an element of ishtadlus. And meidach gisa, one cannot assume total independence from Hashem Yisbarach. And we cited a well-known machlokes between the Chafetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who is opposed to life insurance. And this is in contradistinction to the position of two great Gdolei Yisrael, Hagaon of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, Hagaon of Avadi Yosef Zatzal. And we attempted to lay down some fundamental criteria with reference to the formula for when one should be involved in Ishtadlus and when one should, in effect, have Bitachon. We need both simultaneously. And we mentioned that on the one hand, if there's a clear Haftacha or Nevuah from Hashem Yisbarach, then obviously one should be Somech, one should rely on Hashem Yisbarach in that situation, in those circumstances. On the other hand, if one does not have a Haftacha, and one is not on the level of great tzaddikim, then unquestionably there is a need for hishtadlus. So to a large extent, the resolution of this seeming conflict really is a function of where one is at in terms of one's level of bitachon. As I said, mitzad echad, there's an obligation to have bitachon in Hashem if there's a clear horah, a clear nevuah, a clear haftacha. Mitzad sheni, if there's no fundamental haftacha or nevuah, then obviously one in those circumstances would have to go with hishtadlus. And of course, the problem lies in the middle, as we mentioned. Sometimes between these two extremes, and that's exactly what we, on a daily basis, deal with that kind of issue. So let's just add a little bit to this discussion and point out a number of fundamental yesodos that one sees as well in Tanakh. Chazal tell us about Chizkiyo HaMelech. Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, among the Melachim, well known for his righteousness, for his tzidkus. And yet Chazal take him to task. The Gemara has in Psochim, and Psochim Medivri Ayomim tell us that Chazal critique him. On the one hand, he cut off the doors of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash and sent them as a kind of shochad, kind of bribery to the king of Ashur. And the intention was that Ashur, when they would receive this kind of appeasement, would not capture Yerushalayim. Secondly, Chazal critique Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, that he essentially blocked and put a dam on the water coming from Gihon. The intention was, of course, to prevent the soldiers of the king of Ashur, who were besieging the city, they should not have access to water. So it would seem that on what basis do Chazal come with a taina against Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda? We know that kings in general and army commanders more specifically will do and engage in all kinds of military activities. We find in Tanakh, they're obviously trying to maintain the safety and welfare of their troops, of their citizenry. Isn't there such an obligation to prevent the enemy from receiving whatever it needs? However, as we indicated, if there is a specific hurrah of a Navi indicating otherwise, then we understand. But if there is no directive from a Navi, then it's hard to understand why Chazal critiquing Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Anyone in his position would have acted in a similar kind of fashion. And the answer is that the average person certainly has to operate using Hishtadlus, using logic, using rationality. However, someone of the Madrega of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, he was a great tzaddik. He certainly had an obligation to have bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, there's no doubt, even with his, without his actions of cutting the doors of the Heichal of Beis HaMikdash and sending them as a kind of gift to Melech Ashur, Hashem would have protected him. Because we know that Chazal tell us something very striking about Chizkiyahu. The Gemara Sanhedrin, on that Tzadik Dal Rebbe Beis, the Gemara tells us in his days, Midon Biad Be'er Sheva, they did a kind of survey from Dan till Be'er Sheva, literally from north to south. They couldn't find neither Ish V'Isha, nor Tinok V'Tinokas. They were not cognizant and they were not very knowledgeable in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Ad Kedei Kach. That was the nature of the door of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So under those circumstances, where we have a generation who reached such levels, such a madrega, so any kind of ishtadlus would be something which is absolutely unacceptable for someone of the madrega of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But even at those levels, we're talking about individuals who achieved incredibly high levels. We also find, for example, another classic king, a melech, a great tzaddik, that again wanted to demonstrate his bitachon and Hashem Yisbarach because of his level, his very high level. And we're talking about none other than Yoshio Melech Yehuda. Yoshio, well known, he's a king. He essentially took on all the idolaters and he literally pursued them relentlessly, doggedly. In Melachim Beis, there are 17 psukim that the Navi dedicates to a description of how he decided to go and eradicate all the Bamos and destroy the Elilim, till the Tanakh tells us about him the following language. There was no king of his stature. And afterwards, no one was able to succeed him at the level that he achieved. So it's amazing. Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Perek Dalet of Eicha describes this king as someone who is at the highest of levels. Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. And yet he was killed in a war he went to fight. All in the name of Bitachon and Hashem Yisbarach. Why? Because he thought that in a generation that he was in that reached such levels, so there's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah tells us in the Chukosai, when it lists a panoply of brachos in an idyllic kind of situation, not only would the enemy not fight against Klal Yisrael, but they won't even enter Eretz Yisrael, the soldiers, the army. And therefore, he refused to let Paro, Nechei, Melech Mitzrayim, to traverse Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, Yoshio fell in battle. So why was he punished? Yes, Chazal. And Chazal answer, he should have consulted the Navi. He did not do so. He should have asked the Navi, what I'm about to do, is that correct in the eyes of Hashem? And if he thought correctly that Klal Yisrael at that moment in time was at such a high level, had he asked, the Navi would have told him that even though Enoch Hanami, he did an enormous amount of work, but still there was Avodah Zarah, as Chazal described it, behind the doors, had they somehow were able to, literally, in all kinds of chicanery, dupe Yoshio Melech Yehuda. But he himself recognized his error, and in effect, on his deathbed, was Matzdik Dino Shakadit Bochu, Tzadiku Hashem Kifiu Marisi. Who's greater than Yoshio HaTzadik? Despite all of what he did, and yet there was not a sufficient basis, a sufficient grounding for the bitachon that he had in Hashem Yisbarach since they were over the Avodah Zarah amongst Klal Yisrael. So we have sometimes bitachon that has no foundation, that has no basis. And this is a very difficult matter for each one of us to try to resolve in our own lives. Are we permitted to put ourselves at a level of bitachon which perhaps may be beyond our ken, beyond our capacity, beyond where we really are? On the other hand, when one is engaged in ishtablos, which is excessive, that's also considered to be inappropriate. So it's a very challenging kind of situation that we all of ourselves find ourselves in. So let's just perhaps try to articulate several klolim by way of summation of this topic. The greater the emuna a person has, the greater the faith, the stronger one is grounded, the stronger, the greater the recognition of Einod Milvado, then certainly one is entitled to a high level of bitachon and to minimize one's ishtadlus. But again, with one proviso, the tenai, the stipulation being that the diminution of ishtadlus does not emanate from lassitude, from laziness. One who wants to be zocheh to the crown of Torah, of course, has to engage in the study of Torah in a very strong kind of way, as the Rambam describes in Perek Gimel Hilchos Talmud Torah. And if a person is afraid that perhaps maybe his health will be impaired as a result of many hours, but he has bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach, so he is within limits allowed to diminish the amount of sleep that he has. But of course, he can't be somech on a neis gomer. He cannot rely on a complete overt kind of miracle, unless he's of the level of Rab Chanina ben Dosa and his entourage. In other words, the basis of relying on bitachon depends on a number of factors, but primarily a person should be free of any biases, any negios, and that's obviously something that a person has to work on his entire lifetime, to try to be an Ovid Hashem without interference, without all kinds of other factors coming into play. So the greater the madrega, undoubtedly, then a person has the ability to demonstrate a higher level of bitachon. Number two, all this refers to individuals, yechidim. A person, as I said, difficult for each one of us to know where we're at, where we're holding. Are we worthy of nisim? What exactly are our merits, our demerits? However, that's regarding a yachid, regarding Klal Yisrael, regarding the Jewish people, as an organic unity, as a whole. Here we know the pasuk of Shir Hashirim, Kulach yofar ayosi umum eibach. Klal Yisrael, netzach Yisrael, lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael are without mum, without blemish. I heard in the name of Hagoyin of Yitzchok Hutner Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, that he commented on the Mishnah Maseches Yadayim, the Mishnah that tells us, Kolak suvim kodesh, v'shir hashirim kodesh kadoshim. All the Nevi'im, essentially, what do? They are critiquing Klal Yisrael. They find all types of weaknesses in the spiritual level of Klal Yisrael. However, Shir Hashirim describes the highest Bechina, describes Kesed Yisrael as being free of any blemish, unscathed. There's no mum in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when we speak about a yachid, then we have to be knowledgeable and cognizant of where that yachid is, where we are individually. But when it comes to the schus of the tzibur has the right and the obligation to have bitochon in Hashem Yisbarach, unless we are discussing an outright sakona, then of course one has to be exceptionally careful. This is quite relevant to the Corona situation, but I won't go into the details of that. Here we have an outright sakona, and here the obligation is to take a derech of ishtadlus, of zehirus, following the health guidelines unquestionably, even though we're talking about the tzibur of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. This is the second rule of thumb. There's a distinction between the yochid and the tzibur. And I would like to add to this, and that is, I heard from many of my rabbeim, the hanhoga of Eretz Yisrael is different than the hanhoga of Chutz Aretz. Because of the nature of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, because of its inherent sanctity, and there's no question that the Ramban is probably the prime individual who articulated this, you saw this idea, based on the pasuk in Dvarim, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Osa, Tamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo, Meirishis Hashona Adach Rishona, the Hanhoga of Hashem Yisbarach and Eretz Yisrael is markedly different than anywhere else in the entire world. And therefore here, we literally live with Nisim. V'yal Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, V'yal Niflo Secha V'tei V'secha Shebechol Eis, Erev Avoyke V'tzarroyim. Here in Eretz Yisrael, anyone who lives here, recognizes, and certainly feels that Yad Hashem and the Yeshua Hashem, almost as if we are operating l'mada midarach ha-teva. Hashem is operating here, not within natural course of events, not with cause and effect, with sibo mesovev. It's a different kind of hanhoga than hanhoga in Chutz Aretz. And that's why the Am HaKodesh, who zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael, their bitachon has to be even greater in Hashem Yisbarach than the bitachon of a Jew who lives in Chutz Aretz, and he has to engage in far more hishtadlus than a Jew has to engage in Eretz Yisrael. And this to me is true simply by way of my family and our own experiences in this country. And we see that, as I mentioned already before, how is it possible for Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael to survive economically, socially, politically? It's amazing. On an ongoing basis, we are meluma benisim. We're accustomed to seeing incredible nisim, dafka and Eretz Yisrael. So that was more or less a precy, certainly not a comprehensive one, a rather brief kind of look into the idea of bitachon based on the Mishnah Berurah, who tells us in Kuf Nun Hei, that one should be kovei to Torah, even if there's a business opportunity, one should make sure that that time that one devotes to the study of Torah, that is sacrosanct and should not be interfered with. I want to comment now on the second facet found in the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bi'ah Halacha. As I mentioned already a number of times in the course of this shiurim in Siman Kuf Nun Hei, every siman in the Mishnah Berurah is chock full, literally, moly v'godush, from so many respects. The Bi'ah Halacha has a comment over here. I put an arrow on page number one in the Maror Mekomos. You can see it. He speaks of the obligation from Tana Dvar Eliyahu that why Hashem is nosi panim, why Hashem treats us as his favorite. We are favorite sons of Hashem Yisbarach. And the answer is because we have groups of individuals who sit and learn Torah. Torah is being taught. And then the Mishnah Berurah has the following statement in the Bi'ah Halacha. And then he writes, this is a well-known practice that Kaddish the Rabbanon has said after the study of Torah Shebal Peh. The Mishnah Berurah says in Bi'ah Halacha, Kaddish the Rabbanon is specifically related to Torah Shebal Peh. We know there are different types of Kaddishim. There's a Kaddish al Hefsek. There's a Kaddish that divides between two different parts of Tefillah. Let's say the Chatzi Kaddish, where we have between Psukah de Zimra, Yishtabach, and then Birchas Kriyashma. And we have Kaddish Sholem, after an entire unit is completed. And then we have Kaddish Yosom, and then we have Kaddish Rabbanon. So here the Mishnah Berurah comments in the Bi'ah Halacha that Kaddish Rabbanon is related to Torah Shebal Peh, not to Torah Shebiksav. And then he adds, the Mishnah Berurah says, so too, in reference to Divrei Agada, we also recite this Kaddish Rabbanan. Now, the Kaddish Rabbanan, you'll take a look on page 3 of the Maamar Kamos, the Rambam, at the end of Sefer Ahava, when the Rambam put together a Nusach of Tefillah, so the Rambam also mentions there a Nusach of Kaddish, and he has the Kaddish Rabbanan. He writes, in the circle, in the middle, left-hand column, Kaddish Rabbanan, Kol Asor Miyisrael O Yeseh She'oskim B'Talmud, namely, they're learning Torah Shebal Peh, Va'afilu B'Midroshos O B'Hagodos. What a statement. Even Midroshos or Agoda. Shem Misaimim, and then the Rambam presents to us the Kaddish Rabbanan. So I would like to discuss briefly the concept of Kaddish Rabbanan, and I'll do so in the context of the Gemara in Saita at the end of the Masechta. The Gemara actually has a famous comment on page number 6 of the Maamar Kamos, a Gemara in Saita that Mem Tesem and Aleph. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Sota describe a rather bleak kind of situation that exists in Zmaneinu Anu, Miyom Shechar Beis Hamikdash, every single day brings about, unfortunately, many, many challenges. The Gemara expresses it, B'chol Yom, V'yom Meruba Kilvasa Mishal Chavero. Every day, the imprecations that are being hurled are greater than the previous day. Constant challenges, constant difficulties. And the Gemara says, if that's the case, if we don't know what's going to be tomorrow, as the Gemara describes, Yala Alma Amaiko Mikayim, so how does the world sustain? And the Gemara answers in a very striking, pronounced fashion, Akdusha de Sidra Vayesh Meiraba de Agarata. The Gemara says the world is sustained by Kedusha de Sidra, Uvolotzion, and also Kaddish de Rabbanan, Yesh Meiraba de Agarata. So look at the Rashi. Rashi has a comment. It says, Rashi, Akdusha de Sidra, Seide Kedusha, Shelo Tiknua, why were Chazal Mesakein, Uvolotzion, Elo Shehu Kol Yisrael, Oskin Batora Bechol Yom, Dover Muat. Every day, every Jew should be involved in the study of Torah, a minimal amount. Sha'omer Kriyoso V'Targumo. We know that in the Volotzion, we have both the Kriya, we have the translation of that Kriya in Aramaic. Says the Rashi, V'hein Ka'oskin B'Torah. And by virtue of reading the text of Uvolotzion and translating it into Aramaic, into the vernacular, so in effect, we are involved in the study of Torah. This is something which is universal in nature. It applies across the board to all different types of Jews, both those that are literate and those that are not so literate. And here Rashi accentuates what is the greatness of Uvolotzion, and Rashi draws an analogy to Kaddish Rabbanan as well. Says Rashi, there's a hybrid. Namely, Kiddushas Hashem b'Talmud Torah. When we have both these elements, namely, Kiddush Hashem, that's joining, that merges with Talmud Torah, says Rashi, Chavivu, that's beloved in the eyes of Hashem. V'chein Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach She'enin Acha Hagodah. Rashi indicates that Kaddish Rabbanon is specifically related to Hagodos of Chazal. She'adar Shen Dorish Barabim B'chol Shabbos, so you know Ginkach. Every Shabbos, that's the Gemara in Kol Kisvei, the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Darshan would say Drashos every Shabbos afternoon. B'shamah yunik botzim kolom b'shmoa, fi she'enu yom shem alocha. And therefore, in the course of that Drasha of the Chacham, there were two elements that combined and once again came together, coalesced. B'yesh kan Torah, b'kiddush Hashem. So I'd like to examine and explore this Rashi and then connect it to the comment of the Bi'alocha that we mentioned a moment ago. Before we do that, I'll share with you a pasuk which is well known to all of you in Tanakh on page number 2. This pasuk is found in the context of Sefer Nechemiah and Perichess, and it describes a rather remarkable event that took place in the days of Ezra Nechemiah, Kriyas HaTorah, Birchas HaTorah, which, according to the Ramban, The only bracha outside of Birchas Avozin that's considered to be the Araisa is Birchas HaTorah. Most Rishonim are cholik on the Ramban and assume that Birchas HaTorah is a din Rabbanon. The only bracha that's min HaTorah is Birchas Avozin, a pasuk in Ekev, Yachalta v'savata v'rachtas Hashem Elokecha al Oretz HaTorah shenasa lach. But the Navi here describes a phenomenal kind of scene, a very dramatic, emotionally uplifting kind of event. And the psukim say the following. Vayiftach Ezra sefer leini kolom, ki me'al kolom hoya, ukepistcho omdu kolom. The moment the sefer Torah is open, everyone is standing. Vayivarch Ezra sashem elokim agodol, vayanu kolom omin omin b'mo'al yideyem. Ezra is making a bracha, birchas haTorah, over the kriyas haTorah. People are answering amen, but they're answering amen with their arms outstretched. Vayiktu vayishtachavu l'Hashem apayim arza. And a few psukim later, a pasuk which is very famous in Shas, Chazal darshin this pasuk any number of ways. Vayikru b'sefer b'teras Elokim miforosh v'som sechel vayavidu b'mikros. Chazal seeing this pasuk, everything. And the Navi continues. Vayom Nechemya, who are Tirshos of Ezra, Kohen, Asof, and Alavim, Hamivinim Esaam, the Chalom, Hayom Kadoshu, Lashem, Elokechem. This is a day of incredible Kedusha. There was apparently not only a Kriyas HaTorah and Bracha, but there was also a Kiddush Hashem. Al Tisablu, the Al Tivku, Kibochim, Kalam, Kivsham, and Mizdivri HaTorah. It was a very emotionally energetic moment for Klal Yisrael. The guy in the Meiser Rav knows that this pasuk refers specifically to Rosh Hashanah, but here we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah with a Kiddush Hashem, with a Kedush Hayom, and the Levim continue to support that in the next two psukim. Levim machshim glam leimar hasu ki hayom kadosh v'al teyatzevu. So somehow, in Kriyas HaTorah, there is, together with the brachos, there is an element here, the hybrid that Rashi spoke about, namely the Kriya together with the bracha and the element of Kiddush Hashem that somehow involved that scene lechora from the psukim. I'm not going to focus on that right now because I would like to really focus on the Kaddish Rabbanon. But I'm just mentioning this by way of introduction to the issue. And first, let us examine briefly and see how the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. On page number 4 of the handout, the Rambam has the mitzvah say tes. He tells you definition of Kiddush Hashem. We know there are different types of Kiddush Hashem. The one that's the most well-known is Rachmanu Litzlan, God forbid, when a Jew is obligated to give up his or her life for the three cardinal sins, Gilarai, Shvichas Dam, Abed Azara. There's a second Kiddush Hashem, which is not as well-known, but is also critical, namely, when a Jew behaves in an exemplary kind of fashion, morally, ethically, he demonstrates integrity, Ein L'chol Kiddush Hashem Golo Mizeh. And the Rambam actually has both. The second is the Gemara in Maseches Yoma. But here the Rambam, when he starts defining the mitzvah, tells you, what is the nature of this mitzvah? We're obligated to publicize this emunah that we have in Hashem Yisbarach. We shouldn't be frightened. Even if someone is going to Rachmanu Litzlan, put us in a difficult position, try to coerce us, to compel us, to violate the basic dictums of the Torah. Shalom Nishmaila, we should not listen to him. Avon Nim Sarat Smeinu Lemisa, we have to be ready to Yemesa Nefesh. Mishnah Berurah paskins that when a person says Kriya Shema, when he says the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what should be his kavanah? His kavanah should be, I'm ready to be meiser nafshi al Kiddush Hashem. I'm ready to die al Kiddush Hashem. That's the kavanah embedded and inherent in the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We know of the terrible tragedy that occurred in Har Nof a number of years ago in a shul where there were great tzaddikim, each one of them killed by terrorists. And one of them was Hagoyin by Moshe Trotsky Zatzal, the grandson of Moran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And a few days prior to that event, he said a shiur in the yeshiva, where he was a Rebbe, Taras Moshe, and I heard from Talmidim in the yeshiva and from some Rabbeim in the yeshiva that the shiur was about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. How would you ask to be prepared on a daily basis, Lekadesh Shem Shamayim, to give up his or her life al Kiddush Hashem? And a few days later, Ribbono Shel Olam took this outstanding, wonderful tzaddik, and it was Lekadesh Shem Shamayim Barabi. The Rambam goes on to say, we should be ready to erase the nefesh, and we should not fool ourselves. Zelo nat eyu lachshob. Somehow, we're going to not only fool ourselves, but fool the individual who wants to coerce us, that in effect, we are with him, even though we are still ma'aminim. This is another very significant statement, because the Rambam has a famous letter, the Igeres of Kiddush Hashem, where he defends the position of the Maranos. And the other Rambam seems to be taking issue with Yesh L'chalik, between what the Rambam means here and what the Rambam says over there. But he tells us this is the mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. All of us are obligated in it. Namely, we have to be ready to die, biyad ha'ones, because of the Ava, the Amunah that we have in Hashem Yisbarach, the way Hanani Mishael Bazariah did during the days of Nuchanetzar. And in effect, that's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And he repeats a number of times, by doing so, we are mefarsei, we are publicly articulating, acknowledging the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yichud Hashem. And he goes on towards the end of this page to indicate death should not frighten us. We should be ready to be Meisa Nefesh, to be Mekadosh Hashem Barabim. And he indicates, based on the Chastemin and Chazal, the last three lines, Amanas Kachotesi Eschameres Mitzrayim, Amanas Shetekachu Shmi Barabim. So this Yesod is the Yesod that Hashem wants us to lead a heroic life, but he charges us with the duty to incur martyrdom if necessary. Of course, this kind of public display of Kiddush Hashem is critical. And often, when it comes to Kiddush Hashem, the Gemara has a number of very significant minutia detail, whether it's B'shas HaGzeira, that even on a shoelace one is obligated, Yahari Bal Yavor. And there's a distinction between whether it's B'fahesya or B'tzina. And the Gemara has in Sanhedrin as well, and the Samachal from Abay is a famous Machogus Abayin Rava, someone who's over at Abayin Skachavim, Me'avah, Me'irah, whether you're Chai, whether you're Potter. But our focus here is really the obligation to sacrifice ourselves. We have values that we cherish more than our own lives. And those are the values of connection, emunah to Hashem Yisbarach. So martyrdom is not the only manifestation, however, of Kiddush Hashem. And that's the chiddush of what Rashi is telling us in Seita Daf Mem Tesef Aleph. When the Gemara says, Ein Olam Iskayim, El HaKdusha Desidra Vahish Merabah De'aganata, the answer is that this hybrid of Kiddush Hashem is also fulfilled through Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a testimonial to the heroic Jewish community. We are the apostles of Emunah. And Birchas HaTorah is also, hasn't it, as I mentioned earlier from the Psukim in Nehemiah, an element of Kedusha. We see from the Psukim that during that Kriyas HaTorah with the Bracha, Klal Yisrael were in a state of ecstasy. It was not just a formal recital. B'mayal Yudayim, they lifted up their hands and they answered, Amen, Amen. When we put away the Sefer Torah, we say, Yahalulu Hashem Hashem, King Nisgav Shmei Levado. Almost comparable to the idea of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach. So this concept of a davar shebekdusha can also come to the fore in the context of Talmud Torah. There's a hybrid. There's a merger of two ideas. And it's very fascinating that there's a machlokas of Rishonim, which we're all familiar with. Does uvala tzion require a minyan? We paskel halacha, uvala tzion does not require a minyan. However, there's a deya in Chazal and in Rishonim that uvala tzion requires a minyan. Why should that be? If it's simply an act of kriya and targum, that would not require a minyan. But if embedded in uvala tzion and the targum is an element of kiddush Hashem, there's an element of kedusha over here, then undoubtedly a davar shebekdusha requires asara. Dafka requires a minyan. There's a discussion the Gemara Ksubis has in the first perek with reference to Birchas Chasanim. Why does that require a minyan? The Gemara quotes Sukkim in Megillas Rus. Boaz, before his wedding to Rus, Vayikach Asara Anoshim Miziknei Ha'ir. And that's for a different reason, because that kind of simcha of Birchas Chasanim requires a minyan, requires a public kind of gathering. Even in the context of Simchas Yom Tov, the Torah tells us, V'samachta al v'Hashem alokecha, ato v'bincha v'itecha, abdecha v'amasecha, v'alevi v'agir, v'ayosu v'amon Hashem v'sharecha, and Rashi comments over there, arbo sheli k'neged arbo shelcha, imata m'sameach et sheli, ani m'sameach et shelcha. So there are reasons why we require a minyan. Each time, a different time. However, now we are talking about Kaddish D'Rabbanan. And Kaddish D'Rabbanan is very similar in many respects, and that's what Rashi, I believe, is trying to underscore. Very similar to Birchas HaTorah. But there are two main differences between Kaddish D'Rabbanan and Birchas HaTorah in the context of Kriyas HaTorah. The former is read and said afterwards. The latter precedes the reading of the Torah. Secondly, the former is associated with Torah Shebaal Peh only, from which it derives its name, Kaddish D'Rabbanan. The very name Kaddish D'Rabbanan implies instituted by the Chachamim, Torah Shebaal Peh. The idea of Baruch Hu, it's Hashem HaBorach, that we have in Kriyas HaTorah is an ostentatious kind of sanctification. And it implies a pledge of absolute obedience. Lil Mod Amanas Lasos. But this commitment cannot exist without a messianic kind of vision. It can't have a vision without some eschatological end in terms of the future of Klal Yisrael. In effect, there is a common denominator between Birchas HaTorah of Kriyas HaTorah, which in and of itself has an element of Davar Shebekdusha, and Kaddish D'Rabbanan. And what do we say, essentially, the ancient text of Kaddish D'Rabbanan today? We only really say it after Torah Shebaal Peh or Rachman Litzlan at a Levaya. Yiskadel v'yiskadei Shmei Rabo. Bi'olma dihoasi li'ischarito. We speak about the future. We speak about La'achya Messiah, Trias HaMeisin, La'asoka l'chayyoma, and, of course, the rebuilding of the city of Yerushalayim. And the Heichel, the Makom HaMikdash, and uprooting Avodah Zarah from Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, there's a mitzvah l'shari shachareo, abei ta'abdunus kalam kemes asher abdu shom bagoyim, especially in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam here that we referred to a moment ago, which is appended to the end of Sefer Abba, the Rambam, interestingly enough, seemingly is cholik on Rashi, the Rambam says that Kaddish Rabbanu decided on all Torah Shebaal Peh, even midrashos va'agodos. And Rashi clearly indicates the Kaddish D'Rabbanan is limited. And the reason for that is because the nature of agoda is markedly different than halacha. Kaddish D'Rabbanan is very old. It probably dates back to at least Bayis Sheni. Lahavdil me'avalfi avdolos, they claim that the Lord's Prayer, some of you perhaps may have some familiarity with that, which is a Christian, a Catholic notion, is a bad plagiarism of Kaddish D'Rabbanan. Kaddish Rabbanon, after the Churban HaMikdash, Kaddish Rabbanon took on a totally different kind of significance. We were subject to persecution and other kinds of attacks from neo-Christians and others. Historically, that's when the concept of the drasha was introduced. And that's what Rashi refers to. The Gemara has it called Kisvei and Shabbos. The morning consisted of Kriyas HaTorah with a Meturgaban. The afternoon was devoted to a drasha and a study of Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal indicate there were mishpachas in Yerushalayim, it's Yerushalmi, that didn't come to the drasha. And the Gemara says, Rachmanu Litzlan, their families did not have any longevity. Tillim was not said on Shabbos till after Mincha. You'll take a look at all the Sidurim that we are familiar with. Tillim appears after, so as not to interfere with the drasha. The main initiative, the main motivation of the Chacham was to expound the various hopes, to strengthen our emunah, to counter the neo-Christian statement that the vision has already been realized. And after this drasha, they would recite Kaddish Rabbanon, declaring that we believe in the eschatological future, and we hope we'll see it in our lifetimes. And that's what Chazal called Amen Yeheshmei Rabba Diagadata. That's exactly what Agada is all about. The Gemara says in Saita that the world exists based on Yeheshmei Rabba Diagadata. And Rashi says, why is it so chaviv? And Rashi answers, because we have here a combination, a hybrid of two elements, namely Kiddush Hashem, joining forces with Talmud Torah. And Uvalot Zion, we have exactly the same yesod. So there are three different enterprises that really have a common denominator. Kriyas HaTorah with Baruch Hu and Birchas HaTorah, number one. Number two, Uvalot Zion, where we ask Hashem, Uvalot Zion Goel Ulshavi Feshav Yaakov Num Hashem, Ruchi Asher Alecho Dvay Asher Samdi Beficho, Lo Yamushu Mipicho Mipizaracha Mizerazaracha. The Gemara Mitzia, that the Torah exists in a family for three generations, there's a haftocha that will remain. That's number two. And then we have Kaddish Rabbanon on Torah Shebaal Peh, primarily according to most Rishonim, Al Divri Agoda, because Divri Agoda come to strengthen the emunah of Klal Yisrael in Bias HaMashiach, in the ultimate geula, that it should be b'mher b'yameinu. Many Rishonim, including Rashi, say that Kaddish Rabbanon is said only after Haggadah, not after Halacha. The Rambam is a Shita Yechidah. And that's why, after we learn Dibri Haggadah, we always say, Amr Rab Elaza, Amr Rab Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim, Ba'abim Shalom Ba'ilam, immediately preceding Kaddish Rabbanon. And it's also said after Karbanos. The Rambam, I believe, is the only one who disagrees with the Shita. And he says it even after Haggadah, even after Divri Haggadah Midrashim, we say Kaddish Rabbanon. But it's said according to the Rambam, according to Rav Rishonim, only after Divri Haggadah. And here, unquestionably, there's a history here as well. And you look in the Ma'amar Kaimis on page number 5, there's a fascinating thesis. And this Tosfos actually tells us about the brachas that were recited in the context of the Haftarah, not the bracha lefaneh, asher bracha binvim tovim, but the brachas achareh. Tosfos points out in the third line, on Kufdala Mebez and Avri Psochim, u'bracha shelacha Haftarah, tzur kol ha'olamim, hokel ha'ne'emon, ha'omer v'yoseh, hamdaber m'kayein, shekol dvar v'emes v'tzedek. What are we talking about? Divrei HaNeviim, the words of the prophets that will come to fruition, that will be realized. The Yesh Hefsek B'Machzorin, and at that point, there were many, Taisa says, and this is a minhag quoted, who used to stand up at that point, almost the kind of Davar Shebikdusha that was being enunciated. Where is that? Says Taisa. U'masru ne'manu atahu Hashem Elokeinu v'ne'manim dvarecha. V'davar echad midvarecha ochor lo yoshu reikam. Ki kel melech ne'manata. Yibon Shom carries out his haftochas, his promises to the Divrei HaNeviim. And that's the idea of the Haftarah and the brachas as well. Another example, a fourth example of Divrei Torah, and the brachas represent the element of Kiddush Hashem. The Dovah Shebikdusha, again, the hybrid of Limud HaTorah, Kriya, in Tanakh, and the brachas which are designed to be mechazik, the ultimate Gula Shlema b'mher b'yameinu. Asher b'char b'nvi'im tovim b'ratzo b'divrayim anemorim b'ames, ha'bocher b'atorov Moshe Avdo b'Yisrael Amo, u'v'nvi'e ho'ames v'hatzedek. We are looking with great anticipation, with gaguim, to see the fulfillment of the haftochas of the Divrei HaNeviim. Tzedek of Hashem Yisbarach. Emes, fulfillment. Tzur kol ha'ilomim. He's going to help us realize these haftochos. Shekol divreyem emes v'tzedek. And that's the idea of Ne'eman hu ato Hashem Elokeinu v'ne'emanim dvarecha. And therefore, here we have, in effect, four different enterprises where we see this concept of Kiddush Hashem combined with Talmud Torah. And this combination is the combination that will bring about Halavai Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, the Gula Shlema B'meher B'yameinu. So the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bi'ah Halacha that the Kaddish Rabbanan is primarily focused on Agada, because Agada far more than Halacha. The Gemara always tells us that many, many people, there were individuals who were experts in Halacha and those who are expert in Agada, and many people often klach etzel Hagada. They prefer to run to Hagada as opposed to Halacha, which is generally tends to be much more technical in nature, much more complicated, much more complex. The byways and highways of Halacha are not easy to navigate. There are many shoals along the way, but Divrei Hagada are designed to open up the heart of every Jew, be mechazik our emuna and bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach, in the Nevi'e HaEmes VaTzedek, in the ultimate Geula. That is the essence of Kaddish Rabbanan. This hybrid of Talmud Torah and Kiddush Hashem. Halavai we should be zoche b'doreinu ano to continue to learn Torah, to be mekaddish Shem Shamayim b'chayim chiyuseinu v'chay b'hem. That's also Kiddush Hashem. To live lives of fulfill lives as Jews who are devoted to Hashem Yisbarach, to His Torah, and in that zchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about Uvol Tzion Goel b'mher b'yameinu, amen v'yamein.
Yashar koach, thank you.